Ooh, and we're back. Please excuse my tone. Episode 6, Spodcast Specialist at your service, coming at you, not live, but a recorded kind of thing, you know. Anyway, I'm Brandon Lessie. To the left of me is
Justin the Fool.
And to the left of him is
Akeem Thompson.
Mr. Two Names, now one name, now next week he might be no name. Who knows with this guy,
I might be three next week. Who knows?
He might. He just might. All right, so thank you, Mr. Bruno Mars. But let's get into this podcast, man. All right, so first we're going to start off with something that's died down a little bit, but it was pretty big at the beginning of the week, and that's Shaq versus JaVale McGee. All right? So before we even get started with discussing how, you know, immature this is, let's get some of these tweets out that really started everything and give you some background. So first, as everyone should know, JaVale McGee is the star, basically the star of Shaq and the Fool.
It's Shaq and the Fool.
His Shaq and the Fool little side thing he does on NBA TV, on TNT. Inside the NBA on TNT. The thing he does on NBA TV is Diesel Dunks on Wednesday. All right, so on NBA, on Inside the NBA, he does the Shaq and the Fool stuff, and JaVale McGee happens to be a star. He's on there almost every week. His nickname that he shares with the other Shaq and the Fool star is Tragic Bronson. He shares that
with
Kendrick Perkins. All right, Mr. Tragic Bronson. So this has been going on, 5-6 years now, and it looks like JaVale McGee has had enough. So let me just read these tweets real quick. JaVale McGee started off with, at Shaq, get my nuts out of your mouth, and EAD. Now, hashtag, that is all. Now, EAD is Eda male genitalia part, okay?
Rhymes with pick.
So, he started off there. Then he continued with, all right, y'all, I'm done responding, ... I think. Then he had the thinking emojis, three of those. Then after that, he had, last thing, think about this. He woke up and I was the first thing on his mind when he made that video. That ain't weird to y'all? And followed by a fourth tweet which goes, maybe he's in love with me. Maybe I should be flattered. I don't know, guys. Well, after that fourth tweet, I think Shaq had enough. He responded with, at JaVale McGee 34, don't be acting like you a G. I'll smack the beep out of you, out of your bum ass. You the one that be looking stupid with your dumb ass. Okay, Shaq. Then he followed that first tweet with a, at JaVale McGee 34. We gonna see how tough you are when I see your ass. Sorry, I got a yo as in Y-O, all right? Hashtag bumass McGee, or McGee, whatever his name is. Hashtag bumass acting like they're players. Hashtag clown-ass ballers. Hashtag you need more people. So, JaVale McGee saw those two tweets and figured he'd respond. And he responded with the, oh, we're threatening people now? Kick rocks, you old bastard. You ain't gonna do shit. And that's on my mama. Stick to cooning.
I don't know why he put his mama in it.
Strong words right there. And he followed that with a, forget being on a good team. I'm a grown man. You had these nuts in your mouth for 5-6 years now. You thought I was just gonna stay silent?
A lot of genitalia talk out here.
Lots. Yeah, a lot. I'm not gonna lie about that. I'm gonna just give you my quick thoughts because we really shouldn't even be spending that much time on this. But it was a big story in the beginning of the week, like I said before. This is stupid. I think it's even more stupid that JaVale McGee's mother first came out and said that TNT Turner Sports needs to fire Shaq because he is online bullying, and she thinks her son's amazing. I mean, that's her right. She's the mother, but I mean, be honest a little bit. He's not amazing. He's a decent NBA player.
Especially someone who was a baller like her.
Exactly. And then Shaq's mother comes in, and she tells Shaq to stop it, and they break it up, and the whole thing seems to be squashed. Now, the fact that two men are getting into what seems like a high school argument over Twitter, two professional men making millions of dollars, I think it's childish, and I'm glad that Mrs. Shaq or Shaq Mama stepped in and just put an end to it because it's ridiculous. Jay?
Yes. At the end of the day, it's two grown men fighting over Twitter. You know, maybe we should get them in the octagon and let's see what's going on there.
Really want JaVale McGee to die, huh?
But my whole thought process on it, at the end of the day, JaVale McGee should learn how to take a joke. It's a simple joke. Shaq gets on everyone. I laughed when I saw LeBron took 5 steps and then get caught for a travel. So
crab walk is crab walk.
Crab, yeah, correct. But I just think it's a fun, entertaining way to just goof about the NBA game. Shaq is a goofball. He is not afraid to, you know,
joke on himself, you know, exactly. All that stuff. Let me butt him before Akeem goes. That's the other thing. JaVale McGee seems to think that being on Shaq and the Fool is going to affect his money in some way. Does he not think that teams that are looking to bring him on their team, that GMs and front offices that are and front office presidents that are looking to bring him in, are not going to have the scouting report and look over video of this guy? Like, we know you're a clown. We know you do doofy stuff on the court. If they want you, they're going to hire you. And if they don't, they're not. They're not going to depend on Shaqing the Fool video to make their decision on whether they want to bring you in on their squad. I don't think Steve Kerr and Jerry West were involved. I looked at Shaqing the Fool and said, It's a debate. It's a debate if you want to bring this guy to Golden State or not, man. These Shaqing the Fool videos, ugh.
I'm looking at the triple-doubles. The man has had 3 triple-doubles with 12 blocks. Just with blocks. JaVale McGee's have triple-doubles with blocks.
Okay,
but points blocked. But I'm just simply saying they're looking at that more so than Shaq than the Fool.
I don't know if they're looking at that because they know he's not going to be doing that.
Understandable. He's a serviceable player. Every he's other service,
night, yeah, or yeah. Even once a year, he's not going to be doing that.
Agreed.
Akeem?
Yeah. Well, I think this whole situation is hilarious.
Hilarious.
Like I said, it's two grown men. We should put him in a WWE ring because it's just a joke.
I mean, we've seen Shaq in the WWE ring already.
He's supposed to be there for WrestleMania. So, Vince, I'm calling you Vince like I know you, but I don't. I'm sorry. But instead of making Shaq fight the Big Show, just make Shaq fight JaVale McGee, man. And just make it happen. Because JaVale McGee's been a big baby. He's been on the show for how many years? And he's talking about, oh, we're going to see what happens when I see you. Or did Shaq say that? I think Shaq said that. But it don't even matter.
It don't matter because they both seem to they be thinking that when they childish. See each other, it's going to happen.
Here's the thing, too, which is interesting. The man hasn't been on a team in 2 years, so finally when he's on the team, he wants to take shots. And I guess finally he's on a winning team, he wants to take shots.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. That's what I think it is.
He's on a winning team now, so he's feeling himself a little bit.
He's never been...
He think he can talk to the four-time champ, but he can't.
Exactly. He's never been this open and this... responsive to anything that's going on that makes fun of him before.
You know? Can't wait 5 years after you've been made fun of all that time. The man in the Hall of Fame now, he doing bigger and better
retired
things.
Retired jerseys.
I heard
Suns want to retire his jersey too.
And the Suns.
Oh, I thought you said the Celtics. I'm about to stop it.
And now you want to say you tired of it? Boy, sit down.
Oh, man. All right. Let's move on to topic number 2. Enough of this childishness.
We're going to move on to another foolish topic, in my opinion. with this guy, LaVar Ball, man. For y'all that don't know, LaVar Ball is the father of
Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball from UCLA.
Point guard for UCLA,
yes. Who is a projected high NBA draft pick in this year's draft.
Drawing some very serious comparisons to Jason Kidd in his play.
Yes. And for those of you who don't know, his father has just been talking all types of crazy out here.
He talking like he's the one playing for UCLA, bro.
Exactly. So this man has said that his son is better than Steph Curry is right now. The 2-time unanimous MVP, Steph Curry.
Two-time MVP. One time unanimous.
You're right. All right.
Correction. You're right. One time unanimous.
Thank you for the correction, sir. Please excuse my tone.
Of course.
Also, he was also saying that Lonzo Ball should only be drafted by the Lakers, and he won't play in the NBA if he's not drafted by the Lakers. I think this guy's talking ludicrous.
You know, let me just say one other thing about what, because he has another comment that I just think is wild. He said that if the basketball sneaker companies such as Nike, such as Adidas, such as Reebok, if they don't come with a proper shoe contract for his son Lonzo Ball, that they're not going to sign with any of them, and that they're going to be able to have their own company and make their own brand, and then compared him making his own brand to Jordan having his own brand.
Mm-hmm.
Akeem, you have anything else you want to say, or can I jump in?
Go ahead.
You know, it's so weird. I'm not gonna say that LaVar Ball is a horrible father because, you know, he seems to be a very good father. He has Lonzo Ball looking amazing, and the two younger brothers look amazing also. So he's clearly doing something right. But I think that he's a guy who is using this spotlight to take advantage and just say whatever he wants to get the spotlight on him. It's not about him. It's about his son that's playing in UCLA. And I think a lot of the things he's saying are a little bit ridiculous, and you're making it difficult on your son because now Lonzo Ball is being interviewed about what his father's been saying and all this nonsense. And not only that, I think you make it on difficult on some of the NBA organizations if they really want to go out and draft this kid, because do you really want to deal with this kid's father? And to say the other thing is to say that your son is better than Steph Curry right now playing, and he's playing college ball, I think it's just ridiculous. Like, you just sound, that just sounds ridiculous. Like, I know you want to think your son's the greatest, but
yeah, the pro game is way different.
Let's be serious. We don't even know if this guy is really going to even make it in the league. We know he could play college ball. We got to see if he could play league ball. Jay?
Honestly, I love it, man.
You love it.
Tokyo nonsense, man. Tokyo nonsense.
Tokyo nonsense. Hold on. Hashtag that. Hold on. Is he backing it up? His son gotta cash them checks, bro. His son gotta cash them checks.
And his son will cash them checks.
We
don't know that.
We gonna see. Look.
We definitely gonna see. Honestly, I think Lonzo Ball is gonna be a terrific player in the NBA. I've scouted him from the beginning, said, you know, he reminded me of a Jason Kidd.
You did.
And we
all have him projected to be decent in the NBA.
I think the talking of the father is not going to affect his NBA draft whatsoever, because NBA teams are not going to give a damn about his father.
I'm not saying he's going to drop like maybe like Tunsil did in the NFL draft. I don't think he's going to drop like that, but I think it's something that teams will definitely look into and want to make sure that, is this something that we want to bring into our organization?
Right.
And if your father is causing teams to look at you in that way, he's not helping the situation.
It's interesting. He's helping his brand.
Is he?
Publicity. Correct. Ball. That, honestly.
No, because the only name that's sticking out right now to me is LeVar Ball, and he's not playing ball.
Okay, agreed. But, you know, he claims it's a brand, right? The Ball family has a brand, which is interesting. All right? LeVar Ball, you know, I just think it's just a publicity stunt for him to
step
the brand.
Do you think that Lonzo Ball really needs his father to do all that stuff for the publicity? His play is giving
clearly
him publicity enough.
Agreed. I agree. I'm not going to say it's not white noise, but I felt like, you know, Lonzo has handled it tremendously well.
He handled it like he's already been in the NBA and a veteran handling tough interview questions. He's definitely handling it amazingly.
And trust and believe, Nike, Adidas, and some of these guys are going to have, you know, to me, a great, you know, marketing plan for Ball, to be honest with you, moving forward, without the father. And I guarantee Ball is going to sign it once you see that 6-0.
I'll end this topic on a we'll see. All right?
Hakeem?
It's you, bro.
Also, we're done with the topic?
Yeah, I just said I'll end this topic on a we'll see topic done, bro.
Nah, we're going to bring this back up because, you know, it's a debate. Is Joel Embiid 2017 Rookie of the Year?
One word answer real quick.
Nah, I got to go in. I don't have a one word answer.
We can go in after.
All right, no.
I say no.
All right, no.
It's not a debate.
It's not a debate, guys.
You know what, though? It is a debate from some of the noise I've been hearing from some of these analysts on ESPN, on NBA TV. Apparently, it's a debate. First of all, you're not a rookie when you're in your third year. So I don't even understand how he's up for the award. I know he's injured for 2 years, but I don't care. Your third year, you have 3 years of NBA weightlifting, NBA training, NBA trainers treating you. You're not a rookie, bro. I just don't care. That's just ridiculous. And you can't win Rookie of the Year and you only played 31 games. What? You have literally played a college season, not an NBA season. You can't be the NBA Rookie of the Year. I'm sorry. Cut it out. Nonsense. Ridiculous. My vote goes to Malcolm Brogdon of the Bucks.
I mean, hey, well, what else do we need to say? You said everything I was going to say.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry, man.
No,
go ahead.
Trust the process.
Now, here's my thing. as Brandon, you know, says, the Bucks, the point guard is gonna get Brogdon was whatever his name
don't
is.
Don't act like you don't know his name.
Right. Because you're a big Virginia fan. So cut it out. Cut it out, bro.
He's a nice player, but he's not my rookie of the year. Obviously, I got Murray from Kentucky.
I mean, he can get some votes, but
okay, but at the end of the day, they're in the same boat where it's not the playoffs. Well, we don't know because Denver is actually an 8 seed.
I think we all know that rookie of the year has nothing to do with making the playoffs, not the MVP award.
We saw
last year with Carl Anthony Towns. They didn't win nothing. We saw the year before with Wiggins. We've seen with LeBron, when we all thought it should have been a core award with Melo, Melo got his team to the playoffs. LeBron did not his first season, and LeBron still got the award. So, you know, it's not criteria or requirement to get the award. What should be, and I think will stand as criteria and a requirement, is that you need to play at least more than half the season.
Exactly.
Right. Here's my thing, though. As the analyst standpoint and as my standpoint, you know, 31 games has been how much games played so far? 62? So, yeah, right now he's the rookie of the year.
How many games is in a season?
Very true, but let the other 25...
Is he playing for the rest of the season?
Let the other 25 games play out of this season? So I can say he's not the rookie of the year.
Is he playing for the rest of this season?
No, he's done for the rest of
the season. So that he's only going to have 31 games out of 82.
No, I agree with you.
He's actually only going to have 31 games out of 246.
Very true. Very true.
Trust the process. All right, next topic. Now, the Knicks released Brandon Jennings this week, and the Smart Wizards Washington Wizards organization picked up Brandon Jennings. Now,
Smart.
I don't know about that.
That's how you clarify them now?
He loves the pickups. All right.
They get a couple good years and now they smart.
I'm gonna give compliments and credit where it's due.
I have
gone on record in saying that I didn't like the Scott Brooks hiring because I didn't respect him as a coach as much as this maybe season. I should have.
But season. Now they smart.
Yeah. And now he's a good coach.
Can I finish?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. He's a good coach because I'm watching him be a good coach. He's turned his team around. But then they plateaued under him also, which was my issue because he couldn't control Durant or Westbrook in fourth quarter, late game.
They lost a great team, then they made the finals once. What do you?
I don't care. They lost a great team. They are a great team, and they should have beat some of those great teams. They only made it to the finals once. They should have been in the finals a lot more than that. Next. Everyone's complaining about the Bradley Beal signing, including myself, and maybe they had something on that because this is the best he's looked. He's been healthy. He was arguably should have been an all-star. So I got to say that they know they needed something. They know they need a backup point guard. Who's a backup point guard now? What's this guy's name from Michigan? Trey Burke.
Yeah.
He's not
from Utah. They traded for him.
Right, he's not. I know, but he played for Michigan in college.
Yeah.
He's not cutting it. And you bring in someone like Brandon Jennings, and Brandon Jennings had a good year in the Knicks and a decent year for Knicks standards. And I think it's going to help. But do you think it changes their hierarchy, the hierarchy of the East, as we so had it before?
Nope.
No.
Okay. You know what? I shouldn't say hierarchy because does it change your second place? East person or
nope.
East
nope.
team.
No. Nope.
Because
nope.
So y'all don't think the Wizards are in, so you don't have the Wizards in the passenger seat?
I don't have the Wizards at all in the passenger seat.
Okay, because I mean we already know the Cavs in the driver's seat.
Yeah,
for sure.
They're resting
they're on the motorcycle and the other three teams are in the little buggy attached to the motorcycle. All right, so second best team in the East, Jay?
Still the Celtics. Still the Boston Celtics.
We got the Celtics.
We're about to debate that right now.
Because I still got Toronto. All
right. I have Toronto also, and I think I'm a little worried with the Kyle Lowry injury, but he plays defense and he's an assist guy. His shot will come back, but he's supposed to be back before the playoffs. Yeah. I like the Ibaka and PJ Tucker pickup. I love it. I like the DN3 guy on the wing, and I like the stretch four who plays defense and has a renewed sense of youth, I guess, and enthusiasm for playing on a team that's winning. So I like those two pickups.
Situation. Here's my thing. He was still doing those things to me on the Magic. He was leading in scoring. He was leading the Magic team in scoring.
You didn't even let me finish before you say trying to tell me something.
There's a difference between having to do it and wanting to do it.
Agreed. And if you watch how the Raptors play, he wasn't that enthusiastic and that energetic the way he was playing on
now
the
Magic. Now he wants to do it. I'm
seeing the rotations. I'm seeing the help defense. I'm seeing everything from him.
OKC days.
I'm a little confused of why you have the Celtics as number two, because I don't even have them number three. I have them number four. I have the Wizards up there.
I have the Wizards at the four.
The Celtics haven't done anything. You're hoping Avery Bradley's back, and you're hoping that that is the reason why everything is going to be set. But they just played the Cavaliers. They won, but the Cavaliers, it was a close game. One, Cavaliers are missing Kevin Love. They were missing J.R. Smith. Andrew Bogut wasn't dressed yet. And Cavs still had a chance to win. I mean, LeBron's passed to Deron Williams. I mean, Deron Williams was a 45% shooter from corner threes. Basically 50%. He missed that one. If he gets a second chance, he's going to hit that second one. So that was a great play. They should have won that game. Not should have, but they could have won that game. And they're missing those guys. Avery Bradley, yeah, he's a great player. He's a great 3-and-D guy. But I just don't think that bringing him back is going to be the reason why the Celtics stay number two. I think the other teams have made more progress in terms of trying to strengthen their roster to compete against the Cavs.
Okay. Guys, I'm not... You know, great talks. The reason why I don't think Toronto is there yet, simply Kyle Lowry isn't there. They clean up. I hear you. They're going to get him back before, but we don't know when he's coming back.
Let's go to the land of what if real quick. What if Kyle Lowry wasn't injured? Where would you have him?
I'll definitely put him in the two position. Okay, but the fact that Kyle Lowry was injured and he's not.
All right, I'm going to respect that. I mean, it is a concern for Akeem and myself. Agreed?
And then to me, Wizards. Granted, Celtics are small. Wizards
very small, and their best player is 5'9"
as well. It was a great pickup, but I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I think Wizards still stay in that fourth position. Raptors, Celtics, Cavs.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm worried about the Celtics because I'm worried that in the playoffs, I'm worried that Isaiah Thomas is not gonna be able to take over games when defenses have to plan against you, and you're 5'9". I don't know if he's going to be able to take over games the way where he was in the season. That's my worry with him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's their hit or miss with him. If he's not going, they're not going.
And in a 7-game series, I'm not trusting Isaiah Thomas.
He's getting locked up, bro.
That's
my opinion until he proves me wrong this season.
Very true, but here's my thing. He's not going to get locked up until the Cavs. I'm just letting everybody know that right now. He's not going to get locked up or look crazy exposed until the Cavs.
I think if they meet the Raptors or the Wizards, they lose in six.
That's what I was about to ask you. If they get the 2 seed like you say, and say Washington gets the 3 seed, you don't think John Wall's locking him up in a 7-game series?
And not only that, but both those teams pose problems to the Celtics, the Raptors, and the Wizards, because both those teams have a backcourt of all-star potential. You have John Wall and you have Bradley Beal. Avery Bradley can only guard one of those guys. Mm-hmm. So who is he going to guard? Isaiah Thomas has to guard the other person. They're going to dog him. And the same issue over on Toronto. He has to guard DeRozan actually over there, because DeRozan is a 6'6 shooting guard. You're not going to put the 5'9". I'm putting quotation marks because they have him at 5'9". He's shorter than that without a doubt. They're not going to put him on DeRozan. So he has to guard Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry
is short himself.
He's still taller than Isaiah Thomas, and he has difficulty guarding him. So, when you only have one defender, Isaiah Thomas is going to be the weak link in the defense, and that's going to be an issue.
Here's my thing. Is if Celtics are able to hold on to the second position, I think they're in great.
Do you agree that that's an issue defensively?
It's an issue, but...
Whether whoever they play.
Very true, it's an issue, but it's the same thing as it comes back down the court. I've seen Celtics Wizards play, and John Wall have problem guarding Isaiah.
Yeah, but
I'm just simply saying, you know, yeah, everybody's saying it's a playoff series, but at the end of the day, you know, they have to prove me wrong. Yes, Wizards have beaten the Raptors and some teams that's very impressive
John
and things
Wall
like that.
John Wall is a big point guard.
6'4".
I completely understand
what you're
saying. If
Isaiah Thomas is guarding him, he has to play him at least 4 games in a row. It's not like you seeing him, you taking a day off, or you getting a break.
Or you catching him on a back-to-back.
Yeah, you have to guard this man all the time. And you have to keep up with him. You don't think he's going to get...
That doesn't go both ways for the Raptors but, always as well?
Yeah, wait. You're talking...
We're talking seeding. Playoffs and who's winning.
We're talking seeding. That's fine. We're talking seeding, but we're talking about... You're saying that you believe the Celtics are the second best team in the East. And you saying that means you believe that they can defeat both the Wizards and the Raptors.
I agree. You also said Isaiah Thomas is not going to have a problem until they face Cleveland, if they get to Cleveland.
And that's where I am. I think that they have a problem with whoever they face, whether it's the Wizards or the Raptors, they have a problem. And the issue is, maybe in Toronto, maybe you can hide Isaiah Thomas on PJ Tucker and do a Golden State tactic like they did last year, where they hit Steph Curry on Al-Farouq Aminu and had Klay Thompson and Harrison Barnes guarding McCollum and Damian Lillard.
But PJ would post him.
Yes, PJ is very strong. Maybe you want to put him on Otto Porter on the Wizards and have Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley guard John Wall and Bradley Beal. But Otto Porter is has the best three-point percentage in the league right now. So let's not act like he can't put the ball in the hoop either. And when you got to shoot over a 5'9 person, that's like shooting an open jumper in practice someone that's 6'8.
And yes, he's leading the league in fourth quarter points, but in a series.
He's not going to, yeah, agreed.
I don't say that. I mean, we saw an example of it against the Cavs.
They locked him up.
They locked him up in the fourth quarter. And he's talking about, no one locks me up. No, you get locked up, bro.
He had 4 points. I agree.
He's going to be too tired, man. I don't see it. And they live and die with that guy.
Exactly. That's why I believe I thought if they had made a trade for Jimmy Butler or Paul George, then I would definitely have them in the second seed, and I think they would have been able to beat the Cavs. Well, give them Cavs a run for their money.
I agree with that.
All
right. On to the next topic. Very serious injury that happened earlier this week. Kevin Durant, small forward of the Golden State Warriors.
Boo.
As you can tell by the boo, it's a lot of hate for this guy, Kevin Durant. But, yes, he went down with a grade 2 MCL sprain and a tibial bone bruise. He's out indefinitely. They say he could be back by the time the playoffs start. I think it's a really serious injury, but I do think Golden State can survive. This is a team that's coming off 73 wins. They have lost some pieces, but the core is still there. So, with the addition of Kevin Durant, I was expecting straight shot to the finals, no problem. I think they would have...
No problem.
Yeah, I mean, of course you're going to have the Spurs as contenders, but I...
Houston Rockets?
I don't think
especially with the addition of Lou Williams?
I don't think... They would have to literally outshoot the Golden State Warriors.
That is what they do. That is actually their thing.
I know.
They outshoot and outscore everyone.
Once again, throughout a series... You don't think Steve Kerr is going to adjust to that and shut that down?
I don't know. I'm not sure if he is. The Rockets have a lot of shooters, and it's very difficult. If you want to stick with all the shooters on the floor with the Rockets, James Harden is going to do whatever the hell he wants in the lane.
I'm sorry. You know they say you live by the three, you die by the three. You live by the shot, you die by the shot. But I'm living with Golden State shots more than I'm living with Houston shots.
That's fine. I'm just saying I was surprised you didn't even mention the Houston Rockets name. That's all I'm saying.
I just said one team, and then you interrupted me.
It sounded like you were... Then I asked you about Houston, and you were like, no.
I was about to say L.A., and I was about to say Houston, but I still think it's an easy road.
All right. Okay. So you think this injury is going to affect them in any way, or you think that if Durant's able to come back for the playoffs, it'll be all right?
I think... Well... It depends on when he comes back for the playoffs. If he comes back like conference finals or finals, then give it up.
And if he comes back,
but if he comes back first round, I feel like that's it. That's his just in time, and they're rolling through. All
right.
Okay. Here's my thing. I think they're not gonna survive, y'all. I keep it 110%.
Hold on, Jay. This is gonna be the very rare time that Justin and myself will agree. All right, go ahead.
I think it's too severe of a sprain, and the tibia. Bone bruise that hurts.
It's a grade 2 MCL sprain, bro.
Yes, and I keep it real. I think they fall out the first seed.
I thought you were about to say anything about the first round. Whoa.
I think they could plateau to 3, y'all. And here's the reason why I think they can get to. They will fall. Spurs is gonna be 1. Rockets is gonna be 2. Mm-mm. They play the Spurs and Rockets twice in the remainder of this season's schedule, right? You got the Timberwolves twice, who you've had problems with all season. You've lost to them this season, right? You have Utah Jazz, who's sitting in the fourth seed, who's up and coming.
No slouch.
Mm. No slouch. You got the Boston Celtics. You got OKC of a madman named Russell Westbrook, which he will have a triple-double this game without KD.
And KD's not going to be there to drop 40 on their head this time.
He's coming, y'all. He said it to KD, right? Let's keep it real. You got Atlanta this week. They're not a slouch. You got Wizards. They're not a slouch either.
You're naming off basically all the remaining games. You think
they're going to
lose?
They got majority, right? You got the Memphis. They got the Memphis Grizzlies one time, and they've been beating them.
MVP on the team.
Listen, I agree. The strength of schedule is very high for the remainder of the season.
So, for me, seeding is going to be such a huge, huge play. They can fall to three. Do I think they still have a good team that can battle? Yes, but I don't know. This year, teams are a little bit bigger, and Steph and Klay aren't necessarily shooting right now really great. And playoff series, I don't have them even getting to the Western Conference Finals, y'all. I think they're going to lose in second round.
Go ahead.
Before you start, question. If they fall to number three, who's number one and two?
I got Spurs one, Rockets two.
That's fine.
I could respect that.
I could see this. If I'm Golden State, I want to see Houston in somewhere in there.
And trust
me, you want to see Houston if you're not sure how KD's looking? Because if he's not able to put buckets up, I don't know if you want to see Houston.
Yeah.
Because then you're not going to outscore them.
You definitely not.
I guarantee it.
100% not.
We going to see.
I am seriously worried. Not seriously, but I'm a little bit worried about them missing Durant right now. I agree with Justin. I think it's possible that they can definitely fall to the third seed in the West. That's definitely plausible. I think also, even if Durant comes back in time for the first round of the playoffs, we saw last year with Steph Curry, he got an injury and came back, and he didn't look the same. And I'm not sure if they can withstand missing Durant. I don't think they can withstand it. And with Durant there not being 100, I'm not sure if they could withstand that either.
Mm-hmm.
When Durant first signed with the Golden State Warriors in the summer, everyone was like, oh my God, everyone was losing their head. It's ridiculous. Durant is a bum for doing that. He don't have any type of courage. He don't want to go in the ring himself, and including myself. I felt the same way. I still feel that way. But, you know, after a couple of weeks passed by, I really decided to dig into the signing, and Golden State lost a lot of pieces. They lost all three of their big men in Spates, Azili, and Andrew Bogut. They let go of Harrison Barnes. They lost Leandro Barbosa. Now, those are members of the team that were able to pick you up when your stars were having a slouch or you had an injury here or there or a suspension. They were there. They're not there anymore, and there's really nobody else to pick up the slack of KD not being here. And I think that's the issue why I think they're going to slide. And you would think that Steph Curry would pick up the slack. But over the last three games, not talking about today's game, because I don't have the stats for today's game, even though I do know watching it that they didn't shoot very well. But over the three games before today's game against the Knicks, Curry is shooting 4 for 31 from three-point land. That's 13%, and 26 for 70 overall, 37%. While Klay Thompson shooting 7 for 33 from deep, 21%, 17 for 59 overall, 29%. Those low rates have led to two averages of 22.3 points for Steph and 16.7 points for Klay. They are probably in the worst shooting slump of their careers right now. It's very weird to see two of the greatest shooters probably in NBA history going through a shooting slump at the same time. And for that to happen, Steph Curry not to look as amazing as he was last year, if he can't bring that guy back, I don't see them getting out of the second round either, because in the second round they are most likely going to meet up with the Rockets or the Spurs.
Here's my thing. I think they're going to struggle in the first round. They fall to three. Who's six? The Clippers. The Clippers.
Jay makes a good point.
So, and they're not big at all.
Without Kevin Durant, I don't know if they could beat the Clippers either.
Who that bum on that team is JaVale McGee? Bye, boy. Thank you.
Last thing, I just think they need to be worried. I don't think that it's going to be a cakewalk like they think with this guy being injured. I mean, to have a grade 2 MCL sprain along with the tibial bone bruise, it's like not even one thing. It's two things going on right now in your knee. And let's not forget that he's had knee problems before. So, you know, they're not going to want to rush him back. But if you don't rush him back and get him in the Florida game with his jumper flowing, it might be the same result. You're not making it where you need to be.
And to add to that, I think it's a lot more serious than they are telling us. And I really hope
he doesn't. I think so, too, because they came out with him being out indefinitely. They didn't give a timetable of 4 to 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. They said out indefinitely, but they expect him back for the playoffs. That's giving yourself a lot of wiggle room as to when he's supposed to come back.
Next topic, y'all. This is, I don't think it's as huge as, you know.
It's huge for us, okay?
All right, it's huge for Brandon and Akeem. Jets are having a huge fire sale, y'all, and let's find out if they're giving away free pieces. No,
they're having a fire sale, but they ain't selling anything. They're just giving away. I'm about to have me cursing out here, man. giving away stuff for the free,
Jets,
man.
The Jets this week let go Nick Mangold, Nick Folk, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Breno Giacomini.
Let's take the names that are important.
Very true. Darrell Revis.
Yes, get to that name.
Brandon Marshall.
Please mention him.
And their defensive coach, Leroy. Defensive assistant.
Listen, Akeem and I feel differently on this topic. I am like, what are they doing? They've come out and said that letting go of Darrell Revis has nothing to do with his, what, 4 felony charges and 1 act of terrorism?
That's a lie.
I'm not going to say they didn't play a part in it, but I think his horrible play at cornerback last year was really instrumental. But he's supposed to be moving to safety this year, and as we saw with Chan Bailey, those great cornerbacks that move to safety play well. But we'll see. The Brandon Marshall thing, I'm a little bit surprised by that.
He asked.
The Nick Mangold thing, I am so surprised by that. I mean, they're going to cut, what, DeBrickashaw Ferguson next? The reason why Akeem and I differ on opinion about what the Jets are doing, our football team, is that I don't like the tank. I don't like the tank at all. And you're tanking for who? Who's coming out? Not for this season, for next season. Is somebody out there that you see in college football that's coming out next season that's going to be the quarterback of the future? I don't know, man. Y'all should have been making moves to try and get Garoppolo off of the Patriots, to be honest. Something like that. Okay?
The tank, no one likes the tanker.
It exactly,
sucks.
Bro.
It sucks, but I can understand why they're getting rid of all these people. It didn't work out. You lucked up with your one good year at 10-6, and you barely missing the playoffs.
Are we even having this discussion if we have a capable QB running the team last year?
Absolutely not.
So why disband the whole team?
Because it's a dysfunctional team.
It's dysfunctional because of the quarterback.
No, not only because of the quarterback. Because you got someone like Darrell Revis who's saying that his skills is not diminishing, but you can see it on the field. And he just doesn't look like he wants to play anymore.
That's fine, but he already agreed to move to safety. So it's not even like you got to deal with this disgruntled employee that wants to play corner.
Yeah, but if you move him to safety and you keep that contract on the books, and then he still plays, he's still showing up and playing like he doesn't want to be on the team.
They didn't give him a chance. Didn't see. I honestly believe that he had an injury last year.
He was playing like he didn't want to be on the team, man. I'd rather get rid of somebody and save me some money and give it to somebody else.
That's one guy, though. That's one guy. That still doesn't mean when you release 5-6 guys, it's a tank.
I agree.
Especially those guys. I mean, Nick Mangold.
The Nick Mangold, I didn't agree with. I didn't like that one.
This is a guy been leading the offensive line for umpteen years, man. I agree. He can still play. He's a little longer than this, but he can still play.
I agree with you on that. I didn't like that one.
Brandon Marshall, you know what
he asked to.
You know what's gonna happen to Brandon Marshall? He's gonna go to Foxborough.
He's gonna win a ring.
Yep.
I hope not.
He's never went to the playoffs before ever in his career. This is a guy that's gonna be a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Has never gone to the playoffs ever in his career. Go to Foxborough. Go get a ring, man. He's gonna perform well. He still has it. He's gonna perform well with Tom Brady.
No, he's definitely gonna put. He's definitely gonna put up numbers.
It's not even diminishing. He has it all.
No, he does. Here's my thing. I just feel, you know, they felt the way last year about my Giants. It's okay. But, all right. On a serious note, you know, you clear up $26.2 million in cap.
To do what with?
Who knows? It could be a tank, but I agree with Akeem on this one. You had all these great players. You're paying Darrell Revis $15 million. You're paying...
It's one guy, though. Okay.
Brandon Marshall 7.5.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall deserves that money.
We know Nick is making his millions.
He deserves
dollars.
His money too. Okay. So what are you saying? The only person both of you brought me is Darrell Revis. I understand that. I don't agree with it. I wanted to see how he looked at safety, but I can understand the argument. I don't think there's a need for a fire sale. You're going to be tanking trying to get a QB. Next thing you know, you end up like the damn Cleveland Browns. Okay. Because the Jets suck at drafting QBs. They suck at it. They're probably the worst in the league. No, second worst in the league behind the Cleveland Browns. They don't know how to draft QBs. Yeah. They're pathetic at it. It's ridiculous. Geno Smith, Mark Sanchez. These are two people. I wasn't big on either of these guys. Ridiculous. You draft one guy and if you move up in the first round of the draft, bum.
No, I agree.
Bum juice Mark Sanchez and then you go and draft Geno Smith in the second round.
And the reason why I said Cleveland Browns number one, too, you could have Carson Wentz last year and y'all blew it.
Listen,
here's my question to you.
Go.
Would you rather tank and know that you're going to suck? Or pay all these players big money and still suck.
Pay all these players
big
money. No. Because you don't know if they're gonna suck still.
You know they're gonna suck. They lucked up and got 10-6. So, and then they missed the playoffs and they suck. They were trash last year.
You gonna excuse your tone or not?
No.
Let me ask you.
No. That's my team and I still know they suck.
If they could have got Garoppolo out of Foxborough, well then what? Then what?
And then they still suck. And you're paying all these players money.
Is it your money? Is it your money?
I live in New York, right? It's my taxpaying money.
Thank you.
Listen, whatever, man. They're tanking. It is what it is. We just got to go with the flow. All right, on to the next topic. Still on the NFL. We got a couple of NFL topics today, man.
We're doing good out here.
We're going to talk about something from the draft combine, you know, the NFL draft combine. You know, we normally don't talk about these things because I honestly think it's a waste of time.
No, it is.
But it really is. You know, when a guy turns into Barry Gordon, the Flash, we're going to talk about him a little bit, all right? So, John Ross, out of Washington, wide receiver, broke CJ2K, Chris Johnson's 40-yard time. Chris Johnson at 4.24. And Josh Ross ran a 4.22. 200th of a second he beat it by, but he is now the fastest man to run the 40. Officially under official timing. I know there are some rumors out there of Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson running faster times than that. But the official time when they started clocking it, not by hand, but by a computer made it automated time, these are the official times. Now, is this guy fast?
Kinda.
Okay. I know. He's not Usain Bolt. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Akeem.
Yes. I think it definitely helped his draft.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I believe it. I'm happy for him. I believe it definitely helped his draft stock. And
clearly, Akeem doesn't want to talk about this.
It's not that I don't want to talk about it. It's the fact that people base so many things off the 40.
I mean, we know that.
But why?
Off the 40, off of a bench press, off of all that. We know the draft combine is foolishness. But you know, we're not even talking about is he a good wide receiver. We're just talking about like that's a fast time to run.
That's why I don't feel like this is a topic to talk about because yes, he ran a fast 40 time. But is it going to translate on the field?
Not a fast, the fastest. Right.
But here's my thing. What's the whole point about the combine? Is it not to come show off what it is that you do well?
Yeah, but you're doing things in the combine
that
you're...
But you're doing it without pads. You're doing it without players guarding you.
Exactly. And you're doing things that really don't translate to on-field play. That's why we really don't... I don't like talking about the draft combine. A lot of people say the same thing.
But the purpose is to kind of help your stock and kind of show a little
for
bit.
Players, so you understand that. But I mean...
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, we won't
he
even...
He did his job.
We won't really discuss this because that's fast. But I will say this. I believe Chris Johnson could have ran a faster 40 time if he didn't have dreads. Y'all agree with that?
I agree.
So, you know, this guy, John Ross, is the fastest guy, but Chris Johnson still might be the fastest guy in my book. All right, let's move on to our final topic.
Maybe. but also this week in basketball, The Bus Brothers have tried to stage a coup to get the Lakers against their sister Jeannie Buss, which is crazy. It's asinine. This guy, what's his name again?
Jimmy and Johnny. Yeah.
Jimmy Buss.
Jim Buss and Johnny Buss.
Who was working with his sister, now wants to work with his brother and get his sister out of the job. But he did a terrible job when he was there. So why do you want to do it? Like, just give it up, bro.
This is my thing. Originally, he had said if he doesn't have the Lakers in playoff contention within a year, he's going to step down.
They gave him 3 years.
Yes. Jeannie gave him 3 years because what he was talking about was utter ridiculousness. Ridiculous. Like, clearly you know nothing about running a team and running a front office. And you proved that in that statement, and then you proved it over the next 2.5 years over what you did. I think it's crazy that they tried to take ownership from Jeannie Buss. Everyone knows that the Lakers ownership is owned through stock in the team. So, you know, they have a board that comes in every year, and they vote for who is the official owner or the spokesman or the person that's in charge of the operating decisions every year. And mm-hmm. every year since Dr. Jerry Buss has passed, it has been Jeannie Buss. They mm-hmm. voted. These guys, Jim and Johnny, tried to come in and kind of sway the vote and not even involve Jeannie Buss in the discussions to try and get possession of the Lakers. Real backstabber, low life move right there.
Because to be the owner, you must be on the board.
But I, you know, what it's telling me is that these two guys are idiots, and that Jeannie Buss is the brains behind the family after Dr. Jerry Buss has passed. All right,
she got Jerry,
and she not only saw everything going on, but now she's invoked a restraining order on the two brothers, and they are no longer able to go after what they were trying to go after.
As she said, they don't have a legal leg to stand on.
Exactly. So, I mean, they're going to be back in court, I believe, in May. But as it looks right now, Jeannie won the first battle, and I expect her to win the war. But it's foolishness.
Yeah. I agree with both you guys. For me, it's interesting because in terms of percentage, as, you know, the Buss family, you own 66%. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, you're splitting it 21-21-21. But you're still making millions of dollars. Be happy about it. I feel like it was a power trip on these guys.
You know, it was. But you know, the thing is that the Buss family makes their money from the Lakers organization. They don't own a business.
I understand. But you're still getting a third. But, you know,
everybody wants to be the man, and I guess maybe Jim Buss felt embarrassed. You know, how he was removed.
Yeah, you're making the 21%, but you know, it also looks great to say owner of the Lakers.
Exactly.
Johnny Buss.
You know,
Jim Buss.
Lastly on this topic, I want to say that I respect Adam Silver and NBA for going out and writing a statement saying that they only recognize Jeannie Buss as the owner of the Lakers in terms of the vote was for her to run the team, and that's what they respect. And I do appreciate that Adam Silver putting that out there. Okay, now, I know I said we thought that was going to be the last topic, but I have a surprise topic just for Justin over here, Justin Fu.
I'm interested to hear this answer.
And the surprise topic is this. Last week, we were talking about DeMarcus Cousins, correct?
Correct.
And you came out and said, I believe it was, quote-unquote, that he is a cancerous piece of guy. And you backed up your statement with his behavior on the Sacramento Kings and how he's acted and all the technicals and everything. And I just wanted to ask you a question about another guy who some would consider also a cancerous piece of guy on another team. A team near and dear to your heart. We're talking about the Giants. And on that team, we're talking about none other than Mr. Odell Beckham Jr. Now, it would appear to me that his behavior over the last 2 years can be considered maybe detrimental to team chemistry and team winning. And yes, he's putting up numbers. There's no doubt about that. But so was DeMarcus Cousins. He's putting up numbers. He's putting up 27-10. Those numbers to me. Top five in scoring. Those are numbers to me, man.
Top five.
Hey. those are numbers in scoring, and you know, Odell's putting, he's putting up amazing numbers. If he continues doing that, he's definitely gonna be first ballot Hall of Famer. But his attitude and his behavior at times has been, I think, detrimental to the team and has brought more attention on him than the team. And when you got to go into the locker room to interview one of the players, and the first question they're asked is, well, what do you think about Odell Beckham Jr. behavior? And what do you think about him kissing the net? Or what do you think about his temper tantrum? Or what do you think about him going after Josh Norman? Or what do you think about him going to Miami? And, you know, that just seems to me that he's a distraction. And maybe I'm not calling him a cancerous piece of guy, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on a guy that seems to be doing similar things that what DeMarcus Cousins is doing.
Piece of guy action
in Sacramento. All right, and you know, finally, I want to say this because I know you're going to bring up the Miami trip and you're going to say it wasn't important, but you know, it is important when you go and drop more passes in that game than you did all year. I like to think that it has become an issue, but go ahead.
now, everyone, this is what I have to tell Brandon right here, okay? 2 seasons in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm. No, three seasons now. Okay, go ahead.
This is going to be third season, but in those two seasons, have they made the playoffs?
Didn't I tell you that was going to be the first point?
Right.
They only made playoffs once.
Okay.
Once. But what did he do in the playoffs? That's my point. What did he do in the playoffs? He got the playoffs, and what did he do?
Okay, are they going to get to the playoffs next year?
I don't know, bro.
I'm saying this right now, the New York Giants will be in the playoffs. Yes, you're
a big fan. And, you know, if the Jets can have a fire sale, I would be like, the Jets going to make the playoffs next year?
Here's my thing. DeMarcus has been in the league for 5 years now, everyone. Has not have a winning record. He's on his new team, has not have a winning record. Actually, they won a game without him. They look great without him.
Stop.
I'm so sorry.
Who did they play?
I have no idea. Who did they play?
I think they played the Pistons.
Yes, they beat the Pistons. Actually, they smacked the Pistons.
Yeah, but were the Pistons playing their full team, or were they missing a couple of people?
I think they were missing like one person.
I think they were missing Andre Drummond.
No, Drummond played.
Well, they were missing somebody of importance, but whatever, fine. So you're saying that the Pelicans are better without DeMarcus Cousins?
No,
He hasn't had a training camp. He's... Come on, man. When is the last time you've ever played as a... star big man ever played with another star big man like that?
Oh no,
it doesn't happen often.
I'm sorry. Why wasn't he playing against the Pistons? He picked up his 18th technical.
All right. Let me ask you this: Are you gonna blame DeMarcus for them losing against the Spurs the other night?
He played a little bit of a role.
Wow. Okay.
Played a little bit of a role.
So it wasn't the fact that they ran horrible fourth quarter and overtime offense and put the ball in Drew Holiday's hand and had him chucking.
He's your point guard.
He's your point guard. Yes, your point guard is supposed to assist the two best players on the team.
I agree with you on that statement, but my whole thing about it is you put the ball in your point guard's hand. You're supposed to trust what he does. If he takes shots, then
it's whatever. I just gotta say this. We gotta get back to Odell Beckham Jr. Is he not in the same category as DeMarcus Cousins? He's a guy that puts up amazing stats. He's also a guy that's been detrimental to team chemistry and to the function of what they're trying to do as a team. And it becomes a distraction in the locker room when players are being interesting
enough, yes. He is somewhat, not, I wouldn't say a detriment to the team. Well, detriment, a little bit of detriment to the team chemistry, but I think he had calmed down. Regardless of the hole in the wall when he punched it after the playoff game.
But you're saying he calmed down, but how quickly you forget him proposing to a kicking net? Making out with a kicking net. Saying she said yes!
I think it's just him playing into the antics.
I honestly think it's immaturity.
Being a knucklehead, exactly.
It's immaturity, but I mean, let's be fair. I mean, if you want to call DeMarcus Cousins out, I wanted to see if you're going to call the guy on your team out. That's all.
Oh, of course, yeah. Sometimes it's a detriment to team chemistry, but
Is he a cancerous piece of guy?
He's not cancerous.
He's doing the same thing DeMarcus Cousins doing in the NFL. But,
right, but they made it to the playoffs one out of 2 years he's been there. DeMarcus Cousins has been in the playoffs for five seasons.
He didn't have nobody on his team, bro. Odell Beckham is being led by a two-time champion, man.
Odell Beckham has played 3 seasons in the league. He just finished his 3rd season. They've made the playoffs 1 out of 3 times since he's been there, okay? I just want to put that out there. Get that straight, all right? And the one game that they played in playoffs, he probably had his worst game in his career.
Garbage.
At least he made it there.
He has a team, okay, bro. All
right, he made it there. What did he do? He made it there. What did he do under the lights? Nothing.
All right, but next season he will definitely be a lot better. I promise you that.
A lot better? How? He's playing amazing. He's going to be a lot better in playoffs? You don't know if they're going to make the playoffs.
They will make the playoffs.
Because you know what? The Seahawks are going to be in the playoffs. The Cowboys are going to be in the playoffs. All right? The Panthers, I think, are going to have a turnaround season. They're going to be in the playoffs. I expect the Atlanta Falcons to be in the playoffs.
That's I don't expect Atlanta to be in the playoffs, but continue.
I expect them to be in the playoffs. I don't expect them to. I expect them to be a wild card.
I give them a wild card.
All right, that's the four teams right there. All right, you had the Giants getting the wild card, because I didn't even talk about the Packers. All right, so you had them being that last wild card. Is that their spot?
Let's see what Packers do this season.
They compete every year. They have Aaron Rodgers. They're going to be in there. All right, so you're guaranteeing that they're going to be in that second wild card. That's going to be this. All right, well, you heard it here first.
All right.
Oh, you turn up the tools? Okay. Woo! Oh, all right.
Okay, Bruno.
Listen, guys. We just want to thank you guys for listening. Please go on the Facebook page and like us if you haven't. If you have, share us, man. Sharing is caring, and we don't bite.
Yes, please. Please.
Thank you again for tuning in. We thought we had a great show. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you.
Appreciate you listening.
And we hope to see you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
Stop saluting the mic, bro. Stop saluting the mic, bro. Not a YouTube video. Later, y'all.